Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents!
Hands where we can see them!
NCIS Hawaii is back.
About to set it all on fire.
New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Welcome in, everybody, to the flagship podcast. I am Chip Brown of Horns 24/7, joined by Taylor Estes in her final days as the managing editor of Horns 24/7 before moving on up like the Jeffersons to a tier leader. She's going to be over multiple team sites for the 24/7 Sports Network. Very exciting stuff, Taylor. But thanks for joining us, you know, in these final days. We got Texas football. I'm back from Destin, Florida, if you can tell. I'm back in my office. I'm not in that hotel in the panhandle of Florida, although I will say that is a nice place to have some spring meetings. Spend some time on the beach.
Yeah, you look kind of tan. I was going to say, you're looking a nice golden bronze there, Chip.
I mean, It was beautiful, good seafood. So took the wife. She loved the seafood in the beach. I think she had a good little workcation. That's a word. But yeah, we kind of wrapped up the fact that the SEC is going to go with a 1-year, 8-game conference schedule without one annual opponent. Greg Sankey, the commissioner, said we're going to be mindful of and honor the rivalries, first and secondary rivalries, which I think led everyone to believe that Alabama would play Auburn and Tennessee, Texas would play Oklahoma and A&M. A&M's athletic director has been running around saying, we're going to host the first game in College Station. So think about this. In 2024, Texas would play at Michigan. Of course, they'd play Oklahoma in Dallas and possibly at A&M. So what teams are they going to send to Austin to help Chris Del Conte sell that season ticket package? We'll find out on June 14th. That's when Greg Sankey said, tune into the SEC Network. We'll be announcing the football schedule, the 2024 football schedule. So that's coming up.
Yeah, a week from, well, this will run Wednesday. We are recording on Tuesday, so a week from today, I'll say.
Yeah,
that will be news. And so, like, do you feel the way you kind of said, like the A&M athletic director is kind of talking about the first meeting being there? Do you feel like they are looking for revenge since the last meeting was there, and you know, Case McCoy and Justin Tucker sent the Aggies on to the SEC with some tears in their eyes in the last loss there. Do you think they're just hoping for revenge, or do you think what was your take on it, the way he was talking about it?
Well, I think that A&M is running around excited, and rightfully so. I mean, that's a big game, and to get to have it back at your stadium for the first time is a big deal, but I'm convinced this is the olive branch from the SEC for basically negotiating to bring in Texas and Oklahoma without A&M in the room.
Right.
So this is like, hey, Aggies, sorry about that. But hey, You're going to get to host that first game against Texas. All right. We good? We good? No hard feelings? So I think that's what this is about. And the fact that Ross Bjork, the athletic director at Texas A&M, who I like, I had a conversation with him, and he's a reasonable guy, a good guy, I think. But the fact that he was willing to say that out loud in front of a bunch of reporters with Greg Sankey lurking. And then when we went to Greg Sankey and said, hey, is A&M going to host the first game with Texas? And Sankey's like, I'm not releasing the schedule today. We'll, you know, check out the schedule when it comes out. So
yeah,
I get the feeling it is going to be in College Station, but who's the SEC going to send to Austin? And Chris Del Conte scrambling to find a non-conference game, because of course Texas has been playing 9 conference games in the Big 12. And so now they need to find a 4th non-conference game in addition to Michigan and UTSA and Colorado State in 2024. So Chris Del Conte is out. I mean, don't you think it's probably going to be UTEP, someone in the UT system that they can just say, hey, we need you.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense. Excuse me. That makes sense to me, especially because, you know, Texas has not been too keen on scheduling some of the, you know, division
1AA, yeah. FCS.
Yes.
And they won't. Del Conte said, yeah, we will not do that.
And I respect that. Like, let's be real. I respect that. I know some SEC fans might fight you if you say that, you know, scheduling the quote unquote cupcakes, we'll call them. I'm not saying they're cupcakes, but what they traditionally are called, you know, it's a necessary thing when you play that conference schedule, but it's the only conference that does that and plays 4 non-conference games. So, I'm glad to hear that Texas is going to kind of stick to their guns on that, because I mean, it's great for those smaller schools, right? Like when they get the payout, they get, you know, at least, I mean, like probably over $1 million when they schedule those type of games. But then you can run into something like what happened with Texas A&M and losing to Appalachian State and spending $1.5 million to lose to them at home. I have a funny story about that, Chip. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, so when I was in Mexico 2 weeks ago, and I was at this resort bar, and these younger, like, college-age looking kids were standing next to me, and were like, they started talking to me, and one of them was saying that they're going to college at Richmond coming up, and he's like, I was like, oh, nice, like, are you excited? He's like, yeah, I'm excited to go to college for football. So I was like, oh, okay, you're playing football. That's really exciting. And I just kind of started talking to him. And the guy next to him, he was like, yeah, he just finished playing college football. I was like, really? I was like, where did you play college football? And he goes, Appalachian State. Dead serious. I was like, oh, well, my husband's an Aggie who was sitting right next to me. I was like, hey, you guys should talk. I mean, we spent the next probably hour just talking about how Texas A&M paid Appalachian State $1.5 million so that they can embarrass Texas A&M. Yeah. And yeah, the funny thing is, my husband sitting there was like, I guess I hate you, but I have nothing to say, because what can I say? Y'all beat us in that game. So
that was awful.
Yeah. I mean, and talk about just, I'm like, oh, this is fantastic. Of all schools, this guy could have played at.
A&M is fascinating because Jimbo Fisher brings in Bobby Petrino as his offensive coordinator, and Aggie fans are still like all abuzz that they're on the verge of something great. They're putting all their hopes in quarterback Connor Wegman, who's the new guy, who hasn't shattered any dreams yet. And they get Alabama in College Station, and 2 years ago that was a pretty magical night. So we'll see. I mean, it just feels really fragile there.
Yeah.
And of course A&M's the one that's, you know, it looks like they're moving their collective into their foundation, the 12th man foundation. like literally blending the two, which no one is doing. And with the new law that just passed or is about to be signed by the governor, basically keeping the NCAA or any conference, including the SEC, from regulating any state school in the state of Texas when it comes to NIL activity, they're immune to enforcement. And everyone at SEC meetings said, oh man, it's all about Congress. Congress is going to have to fix this. And man, you just get the feeling that Congress should have better things to do, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. Well, with that, when that started coming out, you know, I think the NCAA shortly after sent out a letter to schools kind of laying out, hey, you can't give benefits to people through your, like, you know, alumni associates or whatever. I mean, honestly, I thought A&M was kind, I mean, it was a risky move for sure for Texas A&M to do that, but I thought it was kind of genius, to be honest, because it's like, force the NCAA to enforce their rules. They're not going to. I think that's that at the end of the day, they don't want to have they don't want to put their hands on anything NIL because they don't want to get sued. And I think A&M, they had, you know, the cojones to actually call them and be like, okay, we're going to do this. Let's see you stop us. They're not going to stop them. I mean, and they kind of set a blueprint for other schools to possibly follow suit, especially in the state of Texas, if, you know, that comes through and they do pass that legislation.
Well, Nick Saban was the one who sort of set the precedent for driving a truck through the NCAA loopholes. When they said you can have unlimited strength coaches, he hired a strength coach for every position. And mm-hmm. basically he hired position coaches and called them strength coaches. And
yeah.
And then they were like, okay, we got to change that. So then they said you can only have 3 strength coaches for football, but you can have unlimited analysts. So Nick Saban just changed the strength coaches to analysts and has been hiring former head coaches ever since. And so, yeah, get in the gray, operate in the gray until someone tells you not to. And I think Texas was their timing and really a credit to the guys who started the Pancake Factory, because the timing on that was perfect. I mean, they announced that on December 5th. I think signing day was like the 18th of December, and they got Kelvin Banks and DJ Campbell and Cole Hudson, and, you know, and others have now tried to emulate that by saying, well, we're going to pay each football player $25,000 or $45,000. I think Tech is at $45,000. Anyway, you know, it's the Wild West, and you're almost insulting the Wild West by calling it that, because it's nuts. Everyone's just doing whatever until Congress steps in.
Yeah. And who's to say that they will? I mean, as you said, there's, I think, quite a few more important things that they have to do. And everything, I mean, for at least to my knowledge, they've been supportive of student athletes making money off their name, image, and likeness. So how do you enforce it? How do you, you can't really have a blanket answer, you know, like schools have to pay players a certain amount of money, because then you're going to run into potential discrimination issues with, like, you know, if they're not doing women's sports the same as men's sports, some schools' athletic departments can't sustain that. They don't have the money to. I mean, I think it's just going to stay the wild, wild west, Chip. And while if you can take advantage of it while you can, do it. And if you're not, you're missing a massive opportunity.
Right. If you're just over there crying on the street corner, no one's going to care.
No.
Hey, we need help. No, you need to figure out a way to have NIL earning opportunities for your student athletes.
Yeah. Connect with your alumni that have businesses and all of that. I mean, there's endless possibilities with it. So,
well,
it's funny. Nick Saban's been kind of one that has been crying a little bit. It's like, you found all the loopholes the other way, and this is the one that Alabama is struggling to keep up with. It's like, Nick's made a lot of money there. Maybe it's got to come from his pocket to someone else. And then,
yeah, it does feel like Nick, I think Nick feels like everyone's catching up.
Yeah.
Everything that was under the table is now over the table, and they're catching up because of that. And so we'll see, we'll see. We'll see on September 9th when, because Nick Saban did say at SEC meetings, the way Texas and Texas A&M and USC are spending money. So now he's got Texas in there too, with the way Texas is spending NIL money. And I think if people knew, Texas doesn't have like some endowment for NIL money. They're trying. They're trying to get fans to like contribute $25 a month, $50 a month, $100 a month to the Texas One Fund as a tax deductible contribution. And they're trying to get, you know, tens of thousands of Texas fans to do that, but it's not happening as quickly as you would think. And so, you know, Texas A&M's probably onto something here. I do know Chris Del Conte is probably happy he got all those facilities renovated, constructed before this crazy NIL push, because it is causing the boosters to have to make some decisions.
Right.
Are we giving money to Texas One Fund to help NIL and the players? Or are we giving it to Texas to help build new facilities? And because Texas has just about renovated all of their facilities, except for the new indoor football practice facility, which of course we've been reporting about for 2 years here at Horns 24/7. It is pulling on the booster. So, all right, Taylor, there are summer workouts happening in Austin, and we have new freshmen on campus. There are actually fewer freshmen reporting for the summer than reported as early enrollees. How about that? There were more early enrollee freshmen than there were freshmen who arrived in June. And among the freshmen who arrived in June, Tasilia Khanna, the edge rusher, Samaje Burrell, the linebacker, Trevor Goosby, the offensive line. He's the only offensive lineman in the 2023 class who did not enroll early. Jelani McDonald, the kid that Gary Patterson coached his father. And Gary Patterson said, watch out for Jelani McDonald now. Ryan Niblett, the wide receiver, the Blazer from Eisenhower and Houston. Will Randall, finally some tight ends to add to that room. Will Randall, who is Arch Manning's high school teammate from Isidore Newman in New Orleans, and then Spencer Shannon, the 6'7", 237-pound tight end from Mater Dei in Southern California, and Ryan Sanborn, the Stanford transfer punter, Billy Walton, the edge rusher, Derek Williams, my guy, the Raptor, at safety from New Iberia, Louisiana, and Trey Wisner, the running back from DeSoto, who is just a burner blazer. And Taylor, you know, Texas football is starting to tweet out and social media, IG, some of those summer workouts. And, you know, I always pay attention to who they're featuring, especially the young guys, and Jontae Cook, the receiver, got like some IG time from Texas football. I always listen. Steve Sarkisian does not allow those pictures to go out unless the guys are deserving or doing something in the coaches' minds to get some love in the Texas football social media. So we know that this is a team that's, you know, focused on trying to win the Big 12 title. And from what we're hearing, it's been a smooth player-led summer so far. Now we're just a couple weeks into this thing, but I do want to point this out, Taylor. Trevor Goosby, who is 6'7", 280 pounds. He's the shrimp in among the offensive linemen in the 2023 class for Texas.
Yeah, the only one sub 300 pounds.
The only one sub 300. You got, you know, Andre Kojo, 6'6", 353. You've got
Peyton Kirkland, 6'6", 370.
Yes, 6'6", 370, Peyton Kirkland. And Peyton Kirkland had a really good spring. Like, he's going to be a factor along with Cam Williams, I think, in the depth chart at tackle. But, yeah, and then you've got Andre Kojo. Jaden Chapman, 6'4", 305. He's like a lightweight, too, at 305.
Yeah.
I mean –
And then Connor Stroh, 6'7", 355.
Yeah, Connor Stroh.
I mean, Chip, you look at those numbers. I remember a couple years ago when Texas had maybe one or two offensive linemen that were over 300 pounds. The rest were under.
Right. Herman would get the 280 guys who used to be tight ends with great feet, kind of the Connor Williams mode, and then beef them up at Texas. And they'd be right around 300 pounds.
Yeah, like the fringe 300 guys, basically.
Right.
But did that work? No.
Right. And Sarkisian is going for the monsters like Nick Saban has, because the defensive linemen in the SEC are the best in college football. That's why the SEC, that's what separates the SEC from every other league, is those defensive tackles that are in the Southeast, you know, in Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana. Those kids are the difference makers. Those are the kids that are separating Clemson and Alabama and Georgia apart, and Texas trying to make hay while they've got some of those guys with Byron Murphy and Tavondre Sweat, and they're hoping Sadir Mitchell evolves into that. That's the position I'm watching the most in recruiting right now, Taylor, and our guys, Hank South and Jordan Scruggs and Hudson Standish are, you know, there was a big recruiting weekend over the weekend, an elite camp, and I was watching for all the news about those defensive linemen, because that's where Texas has got to hit home runs in the 24 and 25 classes. If they want to be a factor in the Big 12, well, they have what they have this year, but in the SEC, they got a hit on that position, the defensive tackle position. So, Sarkisian wants giant humans to offset those incredibly athletic, talented defensive linemen in the SEC.
Yeah. And that's going to be something, you know, to watch. And if you did miss some of the recruiting coverage over the weekend, definitely go back to Horns 24/7. There was an exclusive one-on-one interview with quarterback commit KJ Lacy, who Hank South got right after he committed. I'm just going to throw this out there too, I'm not on the Horns 24/7 site anymore, and I can't come at, or, you know, other fans from other team sites want to come after me, but, Hank South was like one of the only ones that actually had that. And while other reporters for covering Texas were scrambling to even confirm the commitment news, he had a one-on-one interview. So, if you've been wondering what type of guys were adding to the Horns 24/7 team, and Hank South and, you know, Jordan Scruggs, they are grinders. And I promise you guys are really going to enjoy the coverage that they and the content that they provide. In addition to Mike Roach, still, you know, not being solely focused on the University of Texas recruiting, but in the state, he has connections all across the state of Texas. He'll be dropping in too. So I feel good about the recruiting coverage, like, really, really good. And also with the team site, with the addition of Eric Henry coming up, there's a lot of fun things going over on Horns 24/7. And if you're not a member, we are currently running a 60% off annual membership right now. This will be coming to an end pretty soon. So if you're not a member, get on board with that And as an annual member, you will be able to access all of the team sites across the 24/7 sports network as well. So you can chime in, see, you know, when maybe Texas gets potentially a defensive lineman, you know, instead of Georgia and Alabama, and watch their meltdowns on their boards. You never know, you know. Oh, yeah. you get it all. So
yeah. And this is the time to get in. It really is, because this is such a pivotal year. I think it's the most important year in 30 years of Texas football. With the momentum that the program has right now, with this season coming up, if they can translate all the momentum into wins on the field, especially with an opportunity like they have going on the road to Alabama September 9th, then you're going to want to be in on all the inside scoop that we bring you, that the recruiting team. I agree with you, Taylor. I'm really excited about the energy and the recruiting coverage already that we're getting with Hank South, Jordan Scruggs, Hudson Standish, and Mike, you know, presiding over the state of Texas recruiting. So get in and make sure you're an annual member, because that's how you get the VIP access to all the sites on the premier 24/7 sports network. And there is a lot to be excited about. And Taylor, I'll just mention this real quick before we get to baseball. Rodney Terry has officially announced his coaching staff. It's like the worst kept secret in college basketball that he was hiring Frank Haith as his associate head coach. Frank's been on the job for probably 2 months, but they finally made it official. And, you know, Brandon Chappell's going to remain as an assistant coach, and Steve McClain, who served as an assistant coach last season after Chris Beard was dismissed, is going to stay on as well. And Chris Ogden will move into the general manager role that he had when he came to Texas from being a head coach at UT Arlington. He'll manage the, you know, the NIL activity and the, you know, help oversee the recruiting efforts of everyone. And so Rodney Terry has completed his coaching staff. And Texas baseball, Taylor, we were talking last week. Did they run out of magic? Did the Horns run out of magic sweeping West Virginia to win a share of that Big 12 regular season title? Because they went to the Big 12 tournament and just went. but by gosh, they go to sweltering Coral Gables, where it was like 90 plus humidity, and got great performances from the lefty Lucas Gordon and from the regional MVP LeBaron Johnson Jr., the first complete game effort of his career. He was fantastic. 8 strikeouts. I mean, it was a little nerve-wracking the first 2 innings when he loaded the bases and worked his way out of the jams, plural. But then once he hit the 3rd inning, he got into his groove, and man, Miami hitters were just waving. And that was a talented Miami hitting lineup. So it was needed. They only used 5 pitchers in 3 games. How about this? David Pierce, 12-0 in regional action since his first trip to the NCAAs when they lost out there in California to Long Beach. And so the last 4 trips to the regional, Texas, 12-0. And now they'll take on Stanford in Palo Alto, where the temperatures will be barely high 60s. And like high 50s at night, and they're playing at 5 o'clock starting on Friday or Saturday, excuse me, which helps Stanford because Quinn Matthews, their ace, threw 114 pitches in their first regional game against San Jose State, and then came out of the bullpen on Monday night in the clincher against A&M and threw 66 more pitches on like 2.5 days rest. So, I mean, are they going to trot Quinn Matthews out there on Saturday? Probably. The kid's a senior. He wants it. And And Taylor, this has Director's Cup implications too. I don't know how many people are paying attention to that, but if Stanford beats Texas in this regional, Stanford will clinch the Director's Cup and end Texas's two-year reign as the winningest college athletic department, which has been kind of fun because Texas, like Stanford won it for 25 years and then Texas rose up and took it away.
I'll say they dethroned the king of the Director's Cup. I mean, you know, I it's kind of funny because after watching how the regional played out, I was thinking about what we talked about last week on the flagship podcast prior to the regional about how, you know, I'm not saying nobody wants to lose games, right? Like nobody wants to go to a Big 12 tournament and lose back-to-back games and be like knocked out immediately. However, I think conference tournaments are just adding to an already very, very long schedule and tiring out, teams before what matters starts, you know, unless you're a fringe team that may not make it to a regional or something, you have to win, the Big 12 conference tournament or your conference tournament. That's one thing. But I didn't think it was a bad thing that Texas was, 0-2 and out of it. When you look at just how many games they actually play in a season, that gave Texas a lot more rest leading into that regional, a regional that I don't think a lot of people had much, respect for Texas in. And clearly they answered. And in baseball, it's all about when you get hot. It's all about, when things start to click. It's such a mental sport. It's such a mental game. And if you're mentally prepared, you can erase everything that happened prior to, postseason play. And I don't know. I mean, I kind of like Texas in this. I don't know. Maybe I'm just sipping on the Kool-Aid since I'm starting to be a little removed from it. But I liked what I saw, LeBaron Johnson pitching a complete game. That was incredible. I mean, that guy is such a dude, a freaking stud. Like, my goodness. That
fastball slider combination, he had batters just totally guessing. Mm-hmm. And Eric Kennedy, that going over the wall to make that grab and rob Louisiana of a 3-run home run, that would have changed everything. Mm-hmm. Because Texas was not hitting at that point of the game. And if Louisiana had taken a big old 3 or 4 run lead, I'm not sure. But Texas finally got some pop in the sixth inning and pulled out a 4-2 win over Louisiana. Then you get LeBaron Johnson's masterpiece. And then, Tanner Witt gives up a 3-run home run. Texas is down 3-0 to Miami. And then of all people, the little freshman, not little, Jared Thomas and Jalen Flores with a grand slam home run. I mean, those are the future cornerstones of this program. And for them to come up big in a huge spot like that was just huge for their confidence, for the confidence of the baseball team. And so now you've got momentum, you've got confidence in Lucas Gordon and LeBaron Johnson, and you got good Zane Morehouse out of the bullpen. I mean, his nickname is Nightmare, and sometimes it's a nightmare for Texas fans, but it was a nightmare for Miami fans this time. And so here, how about this? There will only be one team going to Omaha this year who was there last year, and it will be either Texas or Stanford. The other seven teams in Omaha will not have been there the year before. It's very interesting. And TCU is one of those teams that got hot in the Big 12 tournament, and they went on the road and won their regional. And then Indiana State won their region, but Indiana State is hosting the Special Olympics on campus. They don't have enough hotel rooms. So the NCAA said, you don't meet the criteria to host a super regional. So Indiana State's now going to TCU for the super regional. So TCU, which is like, man, we're just happy to be in the NCAA postseason, is now hosting a super regional, and Texas and TCU are the last Big 12 teams remaining Oklahoma State, the only team to host a regional, got lit up by Dallas Baptist and Oral Roberts, and they were out after two games. So Texas and TCU carrying the torch for the Big 12. So this
– go ahead.
No, I agree with you. I like Texas. I like the momentum. Stanford doesn't – you know, they have some pop in their lineup for sure, but their pitching is nowhere near the starting pitching that Texas has. Now, guys can get hot in the postseason, don't get me wrong. And they're not as good of a fielding team as Texas. So I think this will be something. I mean, if this team, this Texas team makes it to Omaha after David Pierce replaced his entire coaching staff and had to replace six position players and brought in, you know, nine key transfers, that would be something. That would be a real, you'd have to give a round of applause to David Pierce for making it happen, because I think a lot of people came into this season and he said, we want to be good early and great late. Mm-hmm. And man, that's starting to look like some prophetic words.
Yeah, for sure. And let's not forget the, I'm sorry, I'm looking here on NCAA baseball, but the catch that Dylan Campbell had, oh my gosh. Okay. So there's, when my dad played on the 69 Mets, there was a catch that Ron Swoboda had made in right field. That was, it was a, my dad says, he's one of the type of people that will say he doesn't like seeing players dive for balls because he thinks that you should be quicker on your feet and you don't have to dive. But he will say that one of the catches that he's had saw with the Mets was Ron Swoboda. And it was, he laid out in right field to catch a ball. Even Ron Swoboda's wife, I sat next to her at the 50-year reunion for the 1969 Mets. And that she said, she's like, yeah, he was either going to be the king or the goat. Not the goat in a good way, like the joke, basically. If he didn't make that catch, he made that. When I saw Dylan Campbell's catch, I was like, dang, that's a Ron Swoboda part two. I mean, the NCAA baseball official Twitter account called it catch of the year. And I totally agree. I mean, that was an unreal play that he made, and kudos to him. I mean, my goodness, what a season he has had this year.
Yeah. Yeah. He's got that school record and Big 12 record, 38 game hitting streak. He just keeps adding to it. And Dylan Campbell, what can you say? I mean, that guy's been a monster and a great leader, and I'll give it to David Pierce. He identifies these guys ahead of, you know, he said Ivan Melendez is going to be one of the best hitting first basemen in the country. He was right. He said Dylan Campbell's going to be one of the best, you know, hitting outfielders in college baseball. He was right. And now we'll see if Dylan Campbell, Eric Kennedy, and Garrett Gilmet, what a great find as the catcher transferred in from USC. He's been a monster. He got plunked in the head. It was scary. He was down on the ground. He didn't move for like, you know, 15, 20 seconds. Got up. Looked like he was going to charge the mound. The umps made him go leave the game to get checked for a concussion. And boom, he was right back in there, you know, after that checkup, and was gunning guys out at second base. You know, what a gutsy, this team's got some personality. And so we'll see. We'll see how it goes at Stanford. But I think everyone will be tuning in 5 o'clock on Saturday, ESPN2, I believe, Texas and Stanford, two iconic programs in college baseball. All right, Taylor, you ready for some Love It or Leave It?
I am. Before we get to Love It or Leave It, we're going to take a really quick break, but stay tuned. We have more football talk coming up. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Chip, you ready for my first Love It or Leave It for you?
I'm ready.
All right. Love It or Leave It. Questions at quarterback for Alabama, as well as Nick Saban having to replace both coordinators. Have you thinking Texas is ready to pull the upset in Tuscaloosa on September 9th?
Yeah, I'm going all in on this.
You're guzzling. You're guzzling the burnt orange Kool-Aid right now.
I don't know if Texas is going to handle the games that they're supposed to handle, but I think they're going to handle this one. I do think after spending time with Nick Saban down at SEC meetings, it just feels like things are heavy on him right now. Now, look, he's got all summer and fall camp to get it figured out. And maybe Tommy Reese, his new offensive coordinator, is the magic man like Steve Sarkisian was for Nick Saban. Maybe Kevin Steele, his new defensive coordinator, is the guy to put it all together. But I just think if with Alabama, with that much turnover and transition and uncertainty, if you're going to play Alabama, be glad you're playing them early in the season. Even if you're playing them at home at night, where they've won 24 straight at home and 18 straight at home at night. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to Hank South, our new, recruiting guru at Horns 24/7, and he has covered Alabama for the recruiting for the last 8 years. We're lucky to get him. And he said this year reminds him of 2015, when that was the last time Alabama had uncertainty at quarterback. That was the Jake Coker, Blake Sims quarterback battle, and Ole Miss came in with no fanfare at night and beat Alabama. In fact, that was the last time Alabama lost a game at home at night, was in 2015 to Ole Miss when Hugh Freeze was the coach. And he said it's been, not since then has Nick Saban had this much sort of uncertainty at the quarterback position. So that was a long-winded answer to say, I'm going to love this. Taylor, how about you?
I mean, at this point right now, as of when this airs June 7th, yeah, I'm going to love it. I think those questions aren't currently, as it stands, of June 7th, 2023, they're not there for Texas. They're not. And Texas, and I'm a little surprised I'm saying that, not a little, I'm actually kind of flabbergasted that I'm actually saying that, because that hasn't been the case. Assuming Texas State is healthy, gets through fall camp healthy, especially at the key positions, then I think this Texas team's going to make a serious run. I really do. And I'm not just saying that because I'm not going to be, day to day on the Texas beat or anything like that. I've been saying this, we've been hinting at this, all off season. And this is the first time I actually do feel that way. I know everyone talks about Texas. Are they back every off season? It seems like we've avoided that conversation. We've avoided that topic forever, honestly, until this year. And that's intentional, not because we're trying to sell false hope. It's because I think we both believe it. And so this is a team as it stands, barring any crazy injuries to key positions, Texas, I think, is poised to make a run. And I think it starts in Tuscaloosa on September 9th.
Yeah. I mean, it reminds me a little bit of 2005 when Texas had to go to Ohio State at night in the Shoe. And that was a loaded Ohio State team, but they had a quarterback question too. They had Justin Zwick and Troy. Oh man. He ended up Troy Smith. He won the Heisman Trophy. But in that game, Tressel started Justin Zwick And then he went to Troy Smith. And then he took Troy Smith out and put Justin Swick back in the game. And I think Texas fans were like, oh, thank you, thank you, thank you. And by the time he put Troy Smith back in it, Vince Young was doing his thing. And Texas got out of there with a 22-20 win. So, all right, enough. Kool-Aid for one episode of the Flagship Podcast. How about Love It or Leave It, number two?
Second one for you, Love It or Leave It. Michael Huff is a slam dunk to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame. If you missed the news, he is on the ballot. Former Texas defensive back that was also a Thorpe Award winner. He's been actually on the Texas football staff for the last three coaches, right? Didn't he join when Charlie was? Charlie. I think, yeah. But yeah, so if you missed that news, that's why this here. Your thoughts, Chip.
Okay. So Huffy was a lot more fun when he wasn't on the coaching staff, by the way. But he also wears those medium shirts. And here's a true story about Michael Huff when he got to Texas, okay, from Irving as a freshman. He told me he could only bench 185 five times. Like, I can bench 185 five times. Now look at him. He's got guns. He's wearing
hard to miss.
guy lives in the weight room. He's probably benching 300 pounds a couple times. I love Huffy, and you know what? He's probably going to get in. So I'm going to love this because look, he won the Thorpe Award in the national championship season. He was on one of the most talented secondaries I've ever seen with Aaron Ross and Michael Griffin and Cedric Griffin and Terrell Brown, all of whom played in the NFL successfully. But Huff won the Thorpe Award, and he was in on the tackle on Lendell White on 4th and 2 because Reggie Bush wasn't on the field. Of course, Steve Sarkisian hates being reminded of that. and Huff reminds him of it all the time. So I'm going to love this because Huff was just a playmaker. He just made plays when you had to have him. And I think he is a slam dunk to get into the College Football Hall of Fame. I still am lobbying for my man, Casey Hampton. He absolutely deserves to be in. He's not in. And I think it's a crime because those big fellas down in the trenches get overlooked. But Huff is deserving. Taylor, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to love it too. And I remember when Steve Sarkisian was hired, Texas put out, I think it was Texas, it was either Texas or Longhorn Network, put out a video of him being introduced to Colt McCoy, Vince Young, and Michael Huff. And when Michael Huff and Sark like shook hands, Sark was like, "Oh, you broke my heart" in the video. And I remember that because I was laughing because like it was that play that you're talking about. You know, I still think Michael Griffin has hands down the best interception I think I've ever seen in my life in that game. But Michael Huff, you know, I don't know if many people credit him as much as he deserves credit for that stop on 4th and 2. And just the fact, as all the guys you mentioned that were defensive backs on that team, he's the one that won the award for the best defensive back in college football. If you're going to give those awards to guys, why the hell would you not induct them into the College Football Hall of Fame? Those are awards that people live their, you know, dream about winning, and only a handful of them actually do. He's one of them. So 100%. It should be a slam dunk for him to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame.
And Michael Griffin deserves to be in the College Football Hall of Fame too, because remember, he set the record for blocked kicks at Texas. He was a special teams whiz. In addition to that, an unbelievable toe tap interception that he had against Matt Leinart in a huge play, a game changing play in that national championship game. He should get in for that alone, but also because he was an unbelievable special teams guy and represented everything that you would want in a College Football Hall of Famer. And then he goes on to a, you know, 3-time Pro Bowl career in the NFL. So, all right.
Now he's a guest of the Flagship Podcast.
That's right. He's a
Anytime
regular.
Anytime we can get him, I'm like, Chip, get him.
Regular on the Flagship Podcast. We love Griff. He's a good dad. He's coaching his daughter, who's like the quarterback and linebacker on the boys' peewee team. So, yeah.
Running back.
Running back.
Yeah.
I just know
she was going to be quarterback, but she had a crush on the quarterback. He told that story.
Oh, right. How could I forget that part? Yeah. Go back and listen. You know, if you're subscribed to the Horns 24/7 YouTube channel, scroll back a few episodes until you get to Michael Griffin. It's worth the watch, the listen. Okay. Love it or leave it. Number three.
Final one for you here, Chip. Love it or leave it. Texas gets another amazing weekend from pitchers Lucas Gordon and LeBaron Johnson, and the bats remain hot as the Longhorns reach Omaha for a third straight year.
Man, I'm not gonna bail on these guys now, because after watching that performance in Miami, I didn't think last weekend was going to go real well for Texas, honestly, because you have to win three games. And I didn't know if Texas had the pitching depth. Little did I know the freshmen, Jared Thomas and Jalen Flores, would turn into run producing machines. It just seems like this team, I mean, Texas goes to Omaha. It's what they do. They have 38 appearances. It's the most of any school. And I'm just not gonna bail on them now. So I'm gonna love this. Taylor, how about you?
Yeah, I'm gonna, as much as I don't like going three for three and agreeing with you on all of these, yeah, I'm gonna love this. I feel the same way. I mean, you know, the base again, I don't need to repeat what I said earlier. The mental aspect of the game takes over a lot of times, and Texas seems to be clicking on all cylinders from a mental standpoint, and it's coming through in their play. And I really do think, you know, it's a game where when you get hot is all that matters. And it seems like Texas is continuing to heat up that branding iron. So yeah, I'm going to agree and say that they're going to make it to Omaha for a third straight year.
And I'll tell you what, LeBaron Johnson, if he keeps this up in this postseason, he's going to come in as a favorite next. I mean, he's draft eligible. I don't want to mention that to anyone, but he's only had one real season as a pitcher. It's been this season, but it's been phenomenal. And he has electric stuff, that fastball slider combination. And he's developed a split finger. He's not been using that as much lately, but he might end up being really high draft pick. Okay, we won't talk about that now. Let's just focus.
He's a redshirt sophomore, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. If he was like a true junior, he should probably be focusing on making that decision. But if you're still a junior, you know, you can still have the opportunity to make a lot of money in the MLB draft. They don't start really docking guys until they're seniors when it comes to their pay standpoint. So hopefully he's back for Texas next year, and he'll still probably make a lot of money if he keeps this up.
yeah he's fun to watch, man. 6'4", he's got tilt on that. It looks like he's throwing the ball straight down with how he gets that tilt on that fastball. So,
and he's so long and lanky, like, it just, I always love watching pitchers that look like him because of how their motion is. It's just one of those where it's almost mesmerizing, where you're like, and then just diminishing guys at the plate left and right.
Yeah, reminds me of Dwight Gooden, who's a Met after your dad won the World Series in 69. Dwight Gooden, long, you know, just had that same tilt on that fastball and the slider. But all right, good stuff. Taylor, thanks for jumping in here on the flagship podcast. Before you head off to your new tier leader running multiple sites for the 24/7 Sports Network, don't be a stranger.
Not at all. No, I mean, I've started, you know, the training and stuff this week, but I'll still be around, you know, as we mentioned, as our boss at Horns 24/7, Kevin Ryan, mentioned, you know, I'm not having to move to Nashville or anything like that to be at the 24/7 Sports headquarters. So I'll still be in Austin. I'll still be helping out the Texas site as much as I can. So can't get rid of me that easily. Come on, Chip.
Much appreciated. And much appreciated to everyone for listening to this episode of the Flagship Podcast. We'll We'll work my man Eric Henry in here as soon as he's kind of settled in to Austin. And y'all are going to love Eric Henry. Passionate college football guy, played college football, and is a just loves college football, is so excited about covering Texas. And so we'll get over to the site, make sure you're taking advantage of that 60% off promotion, annual membership. Our recruiting team is on fire right now. So, you know, we'll see you over there at horns247.com. Until next time, stay safe and keep the faith.
Hello, everyone. It's Mike Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.